everyone, and welcome to Taste of True Crime Podcast. I'm Abby.
I'm Samantha.
And today we are covering the case of a real crazy...
A real sack of shit.
A real crazy... I was going to say the B word, but...
Bitch.
Yes. So...
Witch. Which she would really hate.
Because she doesn't like witches.
She doesn't like witches.
Teresa Knorr is who we're covering. Just real quick disclaimers in case you haven't listened to us before. This is a laid-back discussion podcast. We do a lot of conversation back and forth between the two of us. We do our research, but it's a more laid-back, chill type of podcast. We do say bad words.
Sorry.
We do talk a lot. We do talk a lot of shit.
Not sorry.
Not sorry for that. We do apologize if we pronounce something wrong or say something incorrectly. Feel free to email us with the corrections or the right information. We do want to know. What else? We joke around a lot, if you've heard us in our other podcast episodes. We joke around a lot. We don't want anybody to mistake that for us laughing at the victims, downplaying the crimes, you know. We by no means want to...
offend anyone.
Yes, that's the word. I don't know. I just started looking at my shoe and then I lost my train of thought. Squirrel. It's not that hard.
Squirrel.
Okay. So, we'll do... Stop laughing at me.
You're so precious.
We will do a little background information of Teresa Knorr. I don't really like to do a lot of background information about the murderers themselves, but in this situation, it's kind of important to kind of see her history and where she came from to which may have led her to the crazy shit that she did, because she was batshit bananas.
And she did start, like, her adult life pretty early.
Yeah, it was really
16
early.
16 is when she got married, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, back in the day, that's kind of what they did.
Yeah.
But.
True. Not me.
Not you.
Not ever.
Not I.
Anyways. So, Teresa Knorr is a mother of six. Yes, I said six.
She is actually a... What would you call that? Not a sperm donor, because she's the woman.
A womb donor?
A womb donor.
An egg donor? Is it an egg donor?
Egg donor sounds good.
I mean, she did take...
I mean, she...
She held them. Carried them, I mean.
Did she care?
She carried.
Carried.
But she didn't care. Okay.
Well, we'll let you continue. A mother convicted. Got it.
So she was convicted of torturing and murdering two of her six children, almost three, but two for sure. And she used her other children to cover up the crimes. So she was born March 14th, 1946, in Sacramento, California. She was born Teresa Cross to Jim Cross and Swanee Gay. She was the youngest in her... I so overthought that.
You...
Like, I really was, like, about to do Hooked on Phonics on it. And do
that's
my...
really the worst name I've ever seen in my life. Swanee Gay.
But, yeah, I don't know why that was so hard for me.
Swanee.
She was the youngest in the family and had a close bond with her mother. Her dad was a heavy drinker and was very abusive. Ding, ding, ding.
Wait, but can we talk about how she's close with her mom, but then she was a real bitch to her daughters?
Yeah, that was weird. So, her mom died in 1961 when she was 14, and after this, she went through a deep depression. At the age of 16, she married Clyde Sanders after knowing him for only a few months. So, not only is she getting married at 16, she's getting married to this man after only knowing him for a few months. They ended up having a son named Howard, and it was said that they would get into a lot of heated arguments, that she was insecure and possessive, that she even had reported to the police that he punched her in the face and pressed charges on him, but ended up dropping them. So there was a history of, like, abuse.
Sorry, I'm dying.
I'm like, what else was I trying to say?
I'm trying not to die.
You're allowed to cough. It's okay.
I know. I was trying not to. I'm sorry, guys.
So,
I'm broken.
In 1964, it's where her marriage to Clyde Sanders ended. And it didn't just end like a normal marriage would end.
Nope.
She shot and killed him.
Hey, but wait, it was in self-defense, right?
Yeah, that's what she said. But she shot him in the back.
Whoops.
And she said she was acting in self-defense. Now, when this happened, she was pregnant with their second child. She was tried and found not guilty. Not guilty.
Nope.
And shot him in the back. I think it was a more of a...
1964.
Poor women don't do wrong. Mom, she's pregnant. Look at her belly. She didn't mean to.
She's sorry, Mom.
Mm-hmm. So she was found innocent, and she gave birth to that child, Sheila, in 1965. After she had Sheila, she began to drink heavily. She eventually met and married Robert Knorr. They got married when she was 7 months pregnant with their child. So it was his first child and her third. And it was a girl. Her name was Susan. They went on to have two more sons together, William and Robert. And then they had another daughter named Teresa after herself. So if you lost count, that is six now. And that was between her first and second marriage.
Three boys, two girls, right? At this point.
Yes. So, she was... she was real busy.
She was real busy.
Lord, she was.
She was busy.
Marriage to Robert Sr. did not last very long either. She was accusing him of affairs, starting a lot of shit.
Alcohol.
Yeah, that does it to you.
Yeah.
And he eventually left her. After the divorce, he attempted to see his children, but she prevented him from doing so. I never really did understand, though. She never let me see my kids, but I feel like in her case, she was a real crazy bitch, so she probably really didn't let him see the kids. She probably,
like, hid them underneath homes and rocks.
1971, she married someone else named Ronald Pulliam. But the marriage fell apart after she would leave her kids with him and stay out all night partying. So basically, she married him for a babysitter.
Yeah.
Didn't know that's why we got married, but no. Okay. Mm-hmm. They ended up divorcing, and she married again for the fourth time in 1976 to Chester Harris, and that was her final marriage. Can we talk about real quick how she was married four times and I can't find a boyfriend? You don't want to? No, that's not that kind of podcast. It's not a dating podcast. They're almost 30. Yeah, moving on.
You're close. Hey, look. I'm an older generation. I got married at 27.
I'm almost 30.
28. I had Liana at 30.
I'm almost 30.
So we just swapped. You had babies
and
before I did.
Then I got married
before you did.
Never.
Oh.
If you get married, it's harder to get away. Moving on. So Susan, who was her second daughter, her third child, ended up growing close to Chester Harris, and it made her very jealous.
Made Teresa jealous.
Yes.
Yes.
Why would you be jealous of your own daughter?
Because some people
don't know. She said that he turned her into a witch. How you do that? I don't know how you turn somebody into a witch. But she said that he turned her into a witch, and then eventually she ended up filing for divorce.
And they were literally married for just I don't even know if it was a full year. They got married in 76 and divorced in 76.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how the whole witchery thing works, mm-hmm. how long it takes you to pass those classes and graduate.
There's classes.
Oh, there's not? That's not how that works?
Mm-mm. Oh. No, I don't. But you also don't just wake up one day and become a witch.
Teresa's just fucking crazy?
In the head.
Gotcha.
So none of her children were spared from her verbal, physical, and psychological abuse. She had a special hatred for her two daughters, Sheila and Susan. It was said because she was jealous of them growing into beautiful young women.
Because they were prettier than her.
Yeah, they were prettier than her and smarter than her, and she couldn't handle it.
Like, let my baby be prettier than me.
Please.
Please.
Please be smarter than me, too.
And smarter. Most important.
That, yeah, most importantly. For years, she would torture and abuse them in many ways. She would beat them, force feed them, burn them with cigarettes.
And then starve them.
And starve them. So you would force feed them, and then you would starve them. She trained her sons to beat, discipline, and restrain their sisters.
Like, she was already crazy and fucked up in the head.
Yes.
But now you're going to bring your sons into it and teach them to be
fucked up in the
head. Fucked up in the head.
And it's like, what do you do as a child at that point? That's your mother.
You do what your mother says.
They're torn because those are their sisters, but your mother's telling you to abuse them.
Yeah, but if you've never been raised to appreciate siblings, you've been raised to abuse.
Yeah.
That's all you know. So maybe
they really didn't feel
any... They really probably didn't know what we know for our siblings.
Right. In 1982 or 1983, she thought Susan was casting spells on her to make her gain weight. I don't think that's how that works. I think you gotta take the food out of your mouth.
Yes, I'm aware. Thank you.
You shut up. What are you talking to you? What are you talking to you at this moment? She ended up handcuffing Susan to the bed, beat her, and refused her food for days at a time. They got into a heated argument, and Teresa ended up shooting Susan with a pistol right in the chest. She shot her daughter right in the chest because she thought she was casting spells on her, and then they got into an argument. The bullet was lodged in her chest, but Teresa would not let her get medical treatment. So...
Oh, this is where it gets real crazy.
So Teresa thought that she was a doctor. I don't know. Pretty much.
A witch doctor.
She thought that she was a doctor. Not... Like me thinking that I'm a doctor because I've watched Grey's Anatomy. Because I'm a Grey's Anatomy doctor. We know this. But she was a different kind of doctor. She did not let her get medical treatment. She handcuffed her to a soap dish and nursed her back to health.
She shot her in the chest too, right?
Her
husband she shot in the back.
Back. But she shot her daughter in the chest.
Got it.
And then nursed her back to health while she was handcuffed to a soap dish.
Like, what?
Yeah, I don't know.
Where's this soap dish and why don't I have
one? I'm trying to think of, like, how that would work.
Like, I'm guessing it was... it doesn't matter.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Not
the point.
She... In 1984, she told her mom she wanted to move out. And Teresa agreed as long as Susan let her remove the bullet. So there was no evidence if she went to the police to report the abuse. She could have just let the girl go.
Just let her go.
But no.
I mean, what is she going to say? Oh, my mom shot me in the chest. The bullet's in my chest. Mm-hmm. Prove it. There's no video footage.
She just wanted to get out. That's pretty much what it was. So she gave Susan whiskey and pills. And then when she finally passed out, her and 15-year-old Robert removed the bullet with an X-Acto knife.
An X-Acto knife?
Did they even put alcohol on it? See? We're on the same page. Like, did you burn it? Did you put alcohol on it? Did you do it the getaway?
Probably not.
Because you didn't have no fucking surgical equipment. I can tell you that.
Whipped it out of his pocket and
cut her.
Committed surgery.
So they ended up getting... Oh, I just think of a fucking jagged ass...
I just said committed surgery. Like, what?
I didn't even catch it. I just let you.
Surgery.
So she committed surgery.
Grey's Anatomy.
So they did get it out, and they flushed it down the toilet.
I don't know if my toilet would flush a bullet.
I don't even think I've ever really seen a bullet in real life.
Oh, have you met my husband?
I'm so sheltered. Bradley!
I mean...
Show me a bullet.
We'll
do that later.
So,
over the next few days, she started to show signs of infection.
Go figure.
Because you cut her open with an X-Acto knife. As she lay dying on the floor, the other children walked over her body. So she's laying in the fucking middle of the kitchen. And the kid wanted a glass of milk, so they stepped over her, went to the fucking fridge, got the fucking milk, poured it in a fucking cup, and then walked right over her again to exit the kitchen? Mm-hmm. I can't.
Which proves my point that she raised these children to be
so, like, they have no regard for human life, it seems like. Like, not even their siblings.
And she did, what, she told him it was jaundice, right?
Yeah.
Which, regardless.
She did have jaundice, but she also had an infection. So, it was, like, eventually became sepsis, I'm assuming.
Yes.
So, she told her children.
Sorry.
The reason for the infection and jaundice was because of a demon. And the only way for them to get it out was by fire. Because cutting her with an X-Acto knife was not enough.
Nope.
She had Robert and William help her dispose of Susan by dousing her in gasoline and lighting her on fire on Interstate 80. They burned her alive. And that's in capital letters in my notes. Y'all can't see, but that, yeah. And she remained as an identified person for years after that. Like,
unidentified. You said identified, but it's okay. Or maybe you just said it really quick.
I talked fast.
But it was unidentified.
Yes, she was unidentified for years after that. So, she was found, but they didn't know who she was. No reports of a missing person, all that good stuff. So, after this, Teresa forced Sheila into being a prostitute.
Who was her second daughter.
Yes. Sheila was the second daughter. She was the one that she was pregnant with when she was on trial for killing her husband. Sheila ends up making quite a bit of money this way, and that made Teresa really happy. So that kind of, you know, her being happy, Sheila gets more freedom. Gets to go places and leave the house. But when she's home, she's handcuffed, beaten, and starved.
Can we talk about how Teresa's like 18, 19 when this is going on? Like,
Sheila?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Sheila was 18 or 19 when this was happening. Like, you're grown.
Run.
Yeah. Get out. Run. But they're so brainwashed at this point. It's like, what do you do? Eventually, she accused Sheila of being pregnant and giving her an STD. By them using the same toilet seat. So, basically, Teresa was out there doing what she was doing, catches an STD, but blames her daughter because they use the same toilet seat. Yeah, no.
But yet, I'm sending you out there to do the prostituting. Mm-hmm.
To give me my money. Sheila denied the accusations, but she was still beaten and starved every day. Teresa hogtied her and then locked her in a closet. So she had been locked in a closet for we don't even know how long.
Without food or water mm-hmm. for 3 days. And at this time, Teresa is 20.
Yes.
She's finally 20.
Mm-hmm. To end the punishment, she did try to confess that it was her fault that she got an STD. But then Teresa accused her of lying. So what is it? She did or she didn't. And either way she tried to go about it, she just wasn't happy. She eventually died of dehydration and starvation. And Robert and William again helped their mother dispose of their sister.
Because they're brainwashed accomplices.
And they disposed of her body by putting her in a cardboard box and dumping her on the side of the same road they burned their other sister in.
Which it's still, right now, no one knows who that burnt woman was
at this
on
point,
the side of the road.
Correct. So, Teresa ended up trying to abuse Terry, who was Teresa Jr., and I put that in parentheses, Jr., because I think that's so funny, because you don't ever hear of a woman being a junior. But Teresa Jr. was Terry. But she stood up for herself, and she eventually said that she was going to move out. Teresa said that she could, as long as she burnt down the apartment that they were living in to get rid of the evidence that was still there from Sheila dying in the closet. So, I mean, mind you, Sheila died in this closet. She actually did not dispose of her immediately. She left her in there for a few days after she was dead. So, I can imagine, like, the stench and all that was horrid. So eventually after Terry moved out, she did try to report her sister's murders to anybody who would listen. Police, lawyers, therapists, whoever, and they all dismissed her. They didn't believe her. They thought she was lying.
Seems to be a running theme with these stories we do.
Right. But she tried for 9 years and nobody listened. So in 1993, Terry was watching America's Most Wanted and decided to contact them about her sister's murders. When she contacted them, they told her to contact police. Once police officers took the call, one police officer took the call and he took her seriously, finally. So after all of these years, all of these tries that she tried to tell these people about these murders.
Like, hey, fuckers, I'm being...
Mm-hmm, I'm being for real. Like, this is not made up. I'm not crazy.
My two sisters were murdered by my mother, who is crazy and overweight.
And got mad at me. Or my sisters. So, one police officer finally took her seriously and opened an investigation. They were able to establish the facts, showing she was telling the truth after doing a little digging and timeline and all of that other stuff. On November 4th in 1993, William was arrested in California. Robert was charged with his sister's murders while he was already serving a sentence for another murder. So Robert was already in jail when all this was coming about, and he ended up being charged on top of that. Eventually, they confessed to the murders. And in 1993, they tracked Teresa to Utah, who had just been arrested for drunk driving. So when they finally tracked her down, she was in jail.
Bitch was still drunk.
For drunk driving, still drunk. She knew about the investigation and was actually planning to run, but they caught up to her before she could do that.
Probably because she was drunk.
Yeah.
Driving drunk.
No, don't do that. She was charged with 2 counts of murder, conspiracy to commit murder, and a few other charges. I can't remember exactly what they were, but it was quite a few different murder charges. She did plead not guilty at first, but after she found out Robert was planning to testify against her for a reduced sentence, she changed her plea to guilty on the condition she was spared the death penalty.
Dirty whore.
I really hate that when they do that and they allow that.
Like, why?
So you're going to go ahead and plead guilty just so you don't get the death penalty. But that's really what you deserve. In 1995, she was sentenced to 2 consecutive life sentences. She will be eligible for parole in 2027, but she'll be 80 years old. So, yeah, Teresa Nora was a crazy bitch. Yeah, that was this when I was researching, it was like, how do you do that to your own children?
I just don't get, like, that's the problem I have is the children ones. Mm-hmm. Like,
those are all your flesh.
I want to hang my child by her toes sometimes because she's rotten.
But she's so cute and she's sorry.
She is so cute. But then I have the other two who I also want to hang by their toes from time to time.
But they're so cute and they're sorry too.
So are your kids. Remember that. They're sorry too.
As you say that, as I just yelled at mine, I had to stop the whole thing. I had to stop the whole recording.
But they're sorry.
To lose it.
So
anyway, that's the case of Teresa Knorr. And that's all we got. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Taste of True Crime Podcast. Make sure if you have any case suggestions, you go to our website, tasteoftruecrime.com. We have a Facebook group, Taste of True Crime Podcast. Be our friend on there.
Like us.
Yeah, like us, love us. Make sure you leave us a good review, subscribe, share with your friends, your frenemies.
Deborah Aline, like us.
Like us this time, Deborah.
Like us, Deborah.
Be in our wine club, Deborah.
Yeah, Deborah.
All right, guys. Thank y'all. Until next time.
Bye.